You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Oh, hey, look, we're live. Dynasty Happy Hour coming at you on YouTube, Periscope, as well as Facebook. If you're watching, hi. If you're listening, thank you for downloading, and thank you for just, you know, being a friend down the back roads and back again, or whatever it goes. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. I'm here with my pals and my confidants, Tim and Tyler. What's up, boys? How you doing? It's been a couple weeks. It's good to see your faces again. Good to hear your voices. Tim, what's popping over there in Swing State, Pennsylvania?
Well, nothing partying major happened this week that I can think of. Obviously the country is going to deal with some issues here for the next couple of weeks until Mr. Trump decides he's going to concede. But
if he does,
if he does, I don't know how this is all going to break. But hopefully you folks out there had better luck with fantasy over these, I'll just say today, than I did, because with injuries and with bye weeks, I had some very icky decisions to make for some.
Oh God. When Herbert went down, and I was like, I didn't see it. I heard, but then people like, oh, he just got a shot in the nuts. I'm like, yeah, but then he's got two men down and not just him. That's a big issue.
Man like down.
The worst thing is when somebody says, oh, he just got kicked in the nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, you sit there and you go, have you been kicked in the nuts?
We have little kids. I get shots to the nuts all the time.
Yeah. Every time there's a, like, my daughter has a Wonder Woman sword, like the real size. And whenever that thing's out, I usually go hide in a corner or just bubble wrap myself. There's a lot of things, like, or when you have the little one come and she steps between your legs while you're sitting down and you're just like, yeah, a lot of warnings when you have kids.
Absolutely. Tyler, what's new in Minnesota?
Nothing. It was a good week. It was freaking 75 degrees out, and then you know what's gonna happen Tuesday? It's gonna be 35 or so again.
we've got warm weather here in Rhode Island. It was almost 80 degrees yesterday, and it was another 75 degrees today, and it's gonna be warm up until Wednesday, and then it's on Friday it's gonna get back into the 50s. But we're like 60s and 70 most of the week. But global warming isn't a thing. You know, it's like 70 degrees in November. You know, whatever.
Have you guys had issues with the daylight savings? I went for a walk with my kid, and it was, I think, Thursday. I went for a walk.
It got it dark was no real joke. Quick. The cops it was, got me, said, hey, what are you doing with this kid? You look real weird.
That was not the weird part. Okay. The weird part was I was walking and it was 12:15, and no joke, it felt like it was like 4:30. Like I don't know if it's something with the sun, but there is something very off this year.
I would say that yesterday I was out in my yard all day with the nice weather. I was trying to get as much yard work done as possible in shorts and sleeveless. It was quite nice. But yeah, once it got dark, I'm thinking, oh, it's like 7-8 o'clock. I go inside, it's 6:30. I'm like, what?
Yeah, we were outside on the patio watching Red Zone, and before I knew it was like dark, and I'm like, oh, it's 4:30. And so Bob in the chat says we had an earthquake in Mass. Well, Bob, I am in Rhode Island and I felt that earthquake down here. I was like, what is that? It felt like a vibration, almost like an aftershock from an explosion.
It was Philadelphia partying.
It could have been. It very well could have been. So, yeah, we had a 4.2 earthquake out of Massachusetts. I felt it down here in Rhode Island earlier this morning. Yeah,
that's
so
normal. Nothing's wrong.
So, fun fact, New England is actually on, I believe, the biggest fault line.
In the globe.
In the globe. So, hopefully, it remains dormant. That would be
so
great.
It's all your fault.
The dad jokes are coming in hot. Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Trophy Smack. Make sure you use code DHHRING to get yourself a free ring. Wow, I can't even talk. A free wing. They're free boneless.
I'll take free wings.
Yeah. Dude, I can smash some wings. That's for sure. You get a free ring using that code when you order a belt, a trophy, a fantasy grill, if you're feeling like you're part of the Cash Money Millionaires. Yeah, Paul Wall. Yeah, Mike Jones.
Oh, look at that.
Boom.
Yeah. If you're listening on podcasts, hop on YouTube, check out the video. I'm holding up a nice Trophy Smack belt. Mm-hmm. And this one could be Doug's if he can pull off the title.
We shall see. It looks like I'm going to win again this week. I get nervous when I'm like 9-0 in a league and the playoffs are right around the corner.
Well, it's too bad you're not. It's too bad you're not 9-0. I mean,
well, I'm not yet. Just give it like another couple hours.
I'm going for Trevor Lawrence, and somehow I squeak out these little victories, and I'm getting very ticked off. I'm not happy.
Well, you have enough draft ammo. You can just trade up anyway. But anyway, so Tyler, we have a new sponsor, do we not? And I want to hear all about it because it sounds pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, we have joined teams with toploaders.com. It's actually the toploaders.com. Mm-hmm. And they are actually a very fun website. And their card breaks, if you guys don't know about card breaks, they are becoming big again. Card breaks are really coming to the front line. And I know we have a friend in Steve from Sideline Squib who does the same thing. He does card breaks and he's big in the cards. But we have teamed up with Top Loaders and they have a wonderful selection every Monday and Friday they break. And you can decide between any of the breaks. They have basketball, baseball, and football. And sometimes they have the fun stuff, you know, the Pokemon, stuff like that, but very rarely. But it's mainly football and all that. But I actually have two cards I'm going to show you. One is a Van Jefferson College card I'm going to send to our buddy Tim, big Van guy in the beginning process. So there's a Van Jefferson.
Yay.
And then, of course, Dougie Fresh's guy, Cam Akers.
It's my dude.
They're awesome cards. And that was from the Leaf Trinity break that had last Friday. No, it's awesome. It's collecting cards is almost like Dynasty. You know, you collect and if you want to sell them, it's always a market. It's like the stock market, just like Dynasty. And like the market rises. Like Chase Claypool's a hot name right now. DeAndre Swift is going up. Justin Herbert's nearly untouchable. Anything you get for Justin Herbert is insane. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and the cards are just fun to collect. And I had somebody, I got a Javon Kearse signature card and some guy came up to me. He's like, hey, I want that card. And I'm like, okay. What? And he goes, I went to Florida. I've met Javon Kearse. My son goes to Florida and cards aren't something that I go and resell. He said cards are something that I carry close to me because I am from Florida. I went to Florida and he has all these Gators, CJ Henderson and all that. And he goes, my son will have these when I'm gone. He's like, these are something I can pass on. So cards are just something overall awesome. I wish I still had my hockey cards because I had a boatload of Stevie Y, some Yagers, like my hockey.
So in these breaks, there are some older cards, some older players.
Yeah. And okay, awesome. It's called a National Treasure baseball card. Mm-hmm. A Harlem Killebrew rookie card signature.
Oh, awesome. I was going to say with all these new players, I love the new players, but just to give you guys an idea, the last time I had anything to do with cards, here's a Jose Canseco, you know, 1991 All-Stars.
Let's go.
Some that card Ozzie is Smith up.
Like, let's go.
Some 90 Donruss over there. I see
it. Yeah. Actually pretty decent.
Donruss. And it's kind of crazy just to think of all of, like, the cards that are out there. And just, like, I saw a Joe Namath college card get pulled yesterday in a feed. I honestly enjoy watching these, just watching them. Okay. And honestly, the sound of the cards opening just gives me like goosebumps and the crinkle. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, when I was a kid, cards were big. So like 87, 88, 89, my dad and I collected. And I remember getting a box of wax packs for Christmas. And there was nothing better than opening up wax packs and just pulling cards. And I wish all that stuff was worth a damn now, but it's not because they made so many of it. Uh-huh. But it's nice to see the collector's part of baseball cards and stuff come back. In a different way where it's like everything's like a rare pull autograph jersey card. So you're not going to get like, oh, I've got 15 87 Topps Mark McGwire cards because there's just 87 Topps cards freaking everywhere and they're not worth anything. So it's nice to see there be some more rare items in these packs and stuff too, which is really cool. So Tyler, I believe that you tweeted out earlier today. You tweeted, say, hey, if you got any questions, why don't you ask us on Dynasty Happy Hour? So, Tyler, if you have those, I would be more than happy to answer any said questions along with you guys.
All right. The first one was by our buddy Jacob, who is our ex-editor. And he asked, when will Trump concede?
Well, you did ask them to, you know, ask us anything, essentially.
That's true.
I don't know if he's the personality type to ever say he's lost. Honestly,
no.
I mean, we all know he's lost, but
personally, I don't think either one of them are very, headstrong.
I mean, to each their own, but we will actually move on. And I will let me look down here. We have what is going on with Lamar Jackson?
Doug?
I'll go on this one. So Lamar, it's been a tough season. You know, if you look at Lamar, you look at some of the offensive line issues that they have. They just lost Ronnie Staley. You know, Marshall Yanda retires in the offseason. They've got some issues along that line. You know, I think it's the teams realizing that, like, hey, from a passing perspective, he's really only throwing the ball to Mark Andrews, and he's targeting Hollywood Brown a lot. So we're starting to see like ancillary pieces like Willie Snead have a nice game here and there. I think what people saw last year is that it was the game plan. Like Lamar, obviously MVP of the league, the best fantasy season we've ever seen from a quarterback as far as fantasy points goes. That leaves back a lot of tape. And then you have an off season of like, how do we stop this guy? So I think, you know, he's still getting his rushing yards. They're still there, but they're not as in abundance as they were before because I think teams are just scheming smarter than they were last year, and they're really doing a nice job. Like Mark Andrews started the season off hot, but if you look at Mark Andrews over the last month, it's been ice rough. Ice cold. Hollywood Brown, you know, last week he has a touchdown, kind of gets back into the happiness, but then kvetches about like not getting enough targets when he has like a 25% target share, which is an alpha target share at the wide receiver position. And then today, he doesn't. And then today he doesn't really do anything.
25% out of 10 pass attempts.
Sure. So I think with Lamar, I think it's a matter of they just don't have the diverse amount of weapons. Like, you know, last year they relied on Mark Ingram. We've seen Dobbins flash, and then obviously today wasn't a great day. I think it's a lot of just the team smartly game planning around Lamar's strengths and taking those strengths away, letting him have some of his rushing yards, but taking away that double edge, like, okay, well you can rush against us, but we're going to shut down the pass where last year it was like super unpredictable with all that tape out there. I think that teams are just, they're figuring him out a little bit. And I think that's where he's struggling.
When I go back and I watch the coach's film on Game Pass, I see a lot of zone defense against the Ravens. They are forcing him to throw into tight windows. Mm-hmm. And if he's not willing to take those throws, then he's going to have to try to run. But the downside of that is now everybody's backpedaling facing the quarterback. They see when he's getting ready to run. You mentioned the loss of Mark Ingram, the loss of the tackle there. It's little things. It doesn't seem like it would be that big of a deal, but like Doug mentioned, we still have to remember that Dobbins, I'm sure, in another year or two is going to be just fantastic, but
yeah,
he's still a rookie. And Ingram was Lamar's best friend in this offense last year, other than, you know, Mark Andrews, obviously, but teams take Mark Andrews away. There is no Ingram. And yeah, like Tyler said, 25 passes a game. you got a big weapon in Marquise Brown, but if he's only going to see five targets like he did today, chances are he's not going to pop one big.
Yeah. You should have never traded Hayden Hurst. I think that's what it was.
That's probably it. I mean, look what he's doing in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good. So that's my take on Lamar. Tyler, what do you think?
I've actually dropped him. For anybody who doesn't know, I have him in, I'm ranking for Dynasty Nerds now. And my ranking is super flex tight end premium.
You dropped him in your rankings.
I dropped him in rankings.
Okay. No, I just said I dropped him. I'm like, in what league?
I dropped him from multiple dynasties. I'm a true.
The other, you accidentally rostered the defensive Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Yes. The Bears. No, right? Lamar Jackson's I think my fourth quarterback. I got Kyler ahead of him. Uh-huh. And of course, Mahomes. And I want to say
Herbert.
No.
I might put two rookies above him.
I mean, Burrow is up there. I'd actually have to look, but I know I have two for sure. But while I look that up, I'm going to ask you guys the next question, and that is from our buddy Bob Gilchrist.
Bob,
where do you have Juju's dynasty value? He's definitely had a couple good games in a row, mm-hmm. but target wise, it's still Deontay Johnson and now Chase Claypool. Those two are getting a very good amount of targets.
Tim, I'll let you take this one first.
This is a tough one because everybody, including myself, believes that Juju will be out the door in Pittsburgh next year. If he goes somewhere where he doesn't have to be essentially the only guy, if he goes somewhere where he could be, like, let's say he crossed the state and came over to Philadelphia next year, and hopefully Rager builds on, you know, this injury-plagued first season, and he and Rager can kind of be a 1A, 1B, I think that would be great for Juju. In that case, I think Juju has the potential to be wide receiver one. If he goes somewhere where they're going to, you know, they're going to need him to be the alpha, the guy, the one and only, like if he went to Houston right now, I don't think that's going to work too well for Juju. He would see a lot of targets, but I think it would make it very easy for defenses to kind of cover him. What's working right now, we saw it in the Dallas game, is because of Deontay Johnson kind of transitioning into that alpha receiver here, and then you have the rookie week after week continuing to make plays, it makes those defenses kind of spread things out, and Juju can win on one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, going back to the quarterback question, Lamar's actually my quarterback five, and I have Mahomes, Kyler, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson ahead of him. And then right behind him, I have Burrow, Deshaun Watson, and then Justin Herbert at quarterback eight.
Okay.
And also another thing, I have, I think, nine quarterbacks in my first round for Superflex rankings. It's all about the quarterbacks. I hate running backs this year.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I think with Juju, you know, one of the big red flags is when Antonio Brown left the team. You know, Juju had his best fantasy seasons when it was him and AB. AB's drawing all the number one coverage, and Juju could really excel, you know, lining up against that secondary cornerback. And then Antonio Brown leaves, and I was concerned because everyone was like, oh, you know, Juju was at one point, like, right up there as far as, like, top three wide receiver in Dynasty, like, mm-hmm. right after that. And I had concerns around his game. You know, he's not a great separator. And we've seen that work for some guys in the league, like DeAndre Hopkins and Keenan Allen. But the thing is like those guys are like twitchy, precise route runners. Juju's a little bit more beefed up than that. I mean, Juju's probably like, this may sound horrible, but when I think of like N'Keal Harry's game, like Juju is better than N'Keal Harry, but they don't separate really well. But Juju's better at a lot of the technique stuff. So I think, Tim, you're onto something there. If Juju does go somewhere and he's not the number one guy, I feel much better about his dynasty stock. The hardest thing with Dynasty, with a player like Juju, everyone likes him. You want to root for him. He's a fun player. You look at the situation that he's in. Now that he's strung together three successful weeks in a row when he was pretty much all but dead for the previous 3 weeks, and everyone is like, what's going on with Juju? So he's starting to breathe life back into his stock again.
You just call him Doo-Doo.
No, I didn't. So when Pittsburgh, you know, probably not going to re-sign him, A, because they don't really need to, and they're really good at drafting wide receivers, it's all about like, where does he go? Because in that particular case, where he lands is going to dictate his dynasty value. I like the player, but I'm not going to go out and pay what might be his price right now, because you just don't know. He could land somewhere and you're like, wow, that sucks.
Let's see him go to Detroit or Atlanta. Would be a lot of fun, where he would definitely not be the number one.
Yeah, I said comparing him to Harry wasn't great, but they have similar games.
So. I honestly think Houston would probably be like a perfect match. Deshaun Watson needs that player in the middle of the field, that security blanket, because who else is there? Will Fuller.
That's the problem is that defenses will bracket him.
But the thing is, you have Will Fuller on the outside. Say you keep him and you do sign him. Fuller was speed. That's right.
Fuller made a play today, so we're
Brandon Cooks, you have him on the roster. You got those two speedsters on the outside. You got Harry in the middle. That's a pretty good offense. And then you got David Manchin. David Johnson. Mm. I tried.
That was terrible.
But yeah, you know what? You guys are terrible. Why don't you compare somebody else to N'Keal Harry, Doug?
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm gonna compare you to N'Keal Harry.
Well, Juju can catch.
Yeah. Juju also has a decent quarterback.
Wait, what? New England?
Cam Newton. He hasn't had a passing touchdown in like a month.
Well, he had Tom Brady last year, you know. The guy who carried you guys to six championships.
Tom Brady never targeted N'Keal Harry.
All right, let's move on.
Let's not go down there. Let's move on, yes.
We are going to ask, thanks to John Bosch for this question, what about DJ Moore's value, which has significantly fallen thanks to Robbie Anderson and now Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, that's right. It is. So I will take this one because I just made a trade in redraft and I had a really good team on paper.
Can you save that for redraft happy hour?
Yeah, no, I'm just making a comparison. So I actually sold off a lot of pieces on that team. I traded away Josh Jacobs, Kareem Hunt, DJ Moore. And I actually got a good pick. I got a second round pick after keepers next year for DJ Moore. To actually my brother-in-law, he's like, I need receiver help. He loves DJ Moore. And if it wasn't. So last week, DJ Moore was putting up a bagel in the box score and he has 50 yards on the final drive to somewhat salvage his day. Then we look at today and DJ Moore does nothing again. It's mostly Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel, as well as Christian McCaffrey leading the team in targets. I'm concerned. You know, he had the game a few weeks ago against Atlanta where he had the big play and that was pretty much it. This is not what I expected from DJ Moore this season. And I think that the new coach and coordinator over there is just not using DJ Moore the way that we thought he might.
He's not going to be the coordinator for long because that dude
is probably going to get a job.
Rich. Yeah. Atlanta, pay that man.
I think not enough people put the stock in that Robbie Anderson had that connection with the coach.
Yeah.
And that definitely was a major thing that I didn't see coming. Robbie Anderson leading the team in targets. And now that Curtis Samuel, they're using him like we always thought he should be used. They're lining him up in the backfield with Christian McCaffrey.
He's being weaponized near and around the line of scrimmage.
And it's perfect. And, you know, he looked awesome today. He scored in three straight weeks now for Curtis Samuel. You know, if you follow reception perception from Matt Harmon, he loves Curtis Samuel. We all know he's a good player. It's going to be really interesting at the end of this year because I believe Curtis Samuel is a free agent.
Yep.
Where he goes, because that could be a really fun spot. If he goes and he's the number, he's the rock solid number two guy. I think Curtis Samuel is, it's obviously kind of difficult to buy him low now because he has been breaking out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if you invested in Curtis Samuel or you've been a fan for a long time, like myself, like you're just smiling because you're like, this is what I've seen this whole time. It's finally coming to fruition. I'm a little concerned with DJ Moore. I like the player, but the usage and stuff like that is not what I expected. You know, he got 125 targets last year and he was looking like he was breaking out this year.
All right, I'm going to give you guys some names for DJ Moore, and you tell me both who you'd rather have. So DK and AJ Brown and Devonta Adams, no. Tyreek Hill.
I'd rather have Tyreek.
Okay. Chris Godwin.
Godwin.
Doug?
That's a tough one. I will go with Godwin because I think he re-signs in Tampa.
Hopkins.
Yeah, I'd take Hopkins.
Yeah, Hopkins is seeing the ball. Mm-hmm.
Michael Thomas.
Yep.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb.
I like CeeDee Lamb. If I knew Dak was going to be there long term, I would say CeeDee Lamb.
Dak will be back. Yep. I'll take CeeDee.
All right.
Terry McLaurin.
Yes.
I love Terry McLaurin. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
Which, by the way, I have Terry McLaurin. I have Terry McLaurin ahead of DJ Moore in my nerds rankings. All right, now we're going to get into a little deeper. Justin Jefferson.
Curtis Samuel. I'm sorry, not Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore.
Give me Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm with you, Doug. Amari Cooper.
Give me Moore. I can't stand Amari Cooper. Yep. Sorry.
Okay, so that's the threshold we're talking about is right there. Kelvin Ridley.
He's been looking good this year.
Pretty darn close.
Yeah, that's kind of a coin. That's a coin flipper.
Allen Robinson.
Another guy that just gets it done. Like,
he is so freaking good.
Just that one. Guy, give him one quarterback for one season. Just
can he go to Green Bay next year with Rodgers?
Yes. Oh,
that's
my
all
God.
I want. That's all he I want. Is hot.
Allen Robinson catches a ball and lands on his stomach and chest to where everybody else be knocked out. And that dude gets up every time. I'm just like, I would probably be dead if
and
I
you know
caught
why he has to catch it like that? Because they're inaccurate passes. Damn it.
I'd probably take Allen Robinson. He's got a safer floor.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at with DJ Moore. Now, our last question is another one by Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, who's in the chat. Is CEH really a top five dynasty RB?
No, I don't think so.
Name your top five.
Oh, geez, put me on the spot. I'll go with McCaffrey.
Okay.
I'll go with Kamara.
Okay.
I will go with Cook. This is not necessarily order. Yeah, Cook, Barkley, and I would even take Zeke over CEH.
Okay.
Sanders. I take Miles Sanders over CEH.
Nick Chubb.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
DeAndre Swift.
I would take CEH over Swift just because the Lions, I just can't trust them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like the
now,
player.
In my nerds rankings, I have McCaffrey, Kamara, Barkley, Cook. I have Zeke right now, but I'm probably going to drop him. Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs ahead of Clyde. Okay. I have Nick Chubb at 9 and then Swift at 10. And Aaron Jones. Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, Aaron Jones. I forgot about him, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor. That's another one.
Jonathan
what
Taylor.
Are we, what are we doing with Jonathan Taylor?
Do you guys I think he's that guy that spends all offseason working his tail off, and it's going to be that sophomore season that really impresses everybody.
A lot of people have drawn the comparisons to Melvin Gordon. Mm-hmm. Like, his rookie season was disappointing. He comes back in year two and then really starts to do things. I mean, if you look at Jonathan Taylor's profile, the production in college is there. The athleticism is there. I don't think he's looked awful for the Colts this year. He had a terrible fumble today. Like, that didn't do him any favors.
Yeah, that was a bad fumble.
But he's relatively active in the passing game, which we all didn't expect. And he's looked good there.
He fumbled 180 times in college.
I heard that. In one game. It's a record, actually.
In one game.
A record. You know what's also a record? It was 8 touchdowns for Kalen Ballage in a game.
Yeah, who came out of the woodwork. Doug, I thought of you today. I thought of you today. I thought of you when I saw him in a Chargers uniform, which, by the way, Chargers uniform, those today.
Fire.
Best in the NFL.
Are you going to buy a Herbert one? Buy a Herbert one.
I don't want to destroy. The powder blues destroy his career like that. I buy his jersey. I kill him. Like,
that's true. That's true. You do have the, you know, that death touch.
I have the curse. I wore my Julio Jones jersey today, and that dude
scored.
Yeah. His route on that touchdown, amazing. Like, Julio
is wide open, too.
He is so good.
But right there is, that's the one example. As soon as that happened, they replay it, you see the route, and I'm like, how hasn't this happened about 40 times a season for his entire career? Like, this man does this all the time.
I still think it's because Matt Ryan gets really anxious in the NFL. Like, they call him Matty Ice, and I honestly think it's because he gets ice cold in the red zone.
Maybe. Well, they call him Matty Ice because it rhymes with Natty Ice if you're into
the world.
Beer.
Best yeah,
remember,
beer.
Remember
in the world.
Do you guys remember when the Buccaneers defense was good? I remember.
Okay. Anyway. And we got one more. And by the way, Jonathan Taylor, I still like as a player. Mm-hmm. I think the Colts need a new quarterback. Phillip Rivers ain't it.
Rivers ain't it.
He's not going to get him over the hump.
Hey, this is Dynasty Happy Hour. I've been hearing lots of good things about Jacob Eason.
You mean the cannon? That dude.
I've been hearing lots of good things from indie reporters about Jacob Eason.
Yeah, and which is a perfect time to go buy him right now in any league. Superflex single quarterback. Free, he is a perfect stash on Taxi. Mm-hmm. Last question is a hot name. Is James Robinson undervalued in fantasy?
Yes.
With so many holes in this offense, he feels like the one piece to not worry about, but a lot believe he is not the long-term plan. This is by PTW Fantasy. I mean, short answer is yes.
I think he's playing himself into the long-term plan, to be honest.
Since week one, you know, anytime I go back and watch a Jaguars game, the guy just gets north and south. He's exactly what an offense needs. He's not the guy that's going to dance behind the line and get caught for that 3-yard loss. This team also has so many holes everywhere else that with James Robinson running like he is and like he has, they may still spend a pick on a RB. They may still sign somebody through free agency, but it's not going to be a top tier guy. They're not going to pay big money to anybody through free agency, and they're not going to spend a first, third round pick on an RB. James Robinson will most likely be the starting running back for the Jaguars starting next season. Now, with that being said, this Jake Luton kid that played today, I thought he played pretty daggone well.
Hate his delivery. His delivery is ugh.
Who cares though? Like delivery, like have you seen
Philip Rivers
players in the NFL? Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's been thrown sideways for the first
Cam Newton, so. Like his delivery's been awful forever.
Did you see Russ like fall into the sidearm?
Can we talk about how, like, we're talking about James Robinson, but we can't forget about the forgotten man who's actually helped James Robinson, Cam Robinson, who is the laughing stock of that offensive line, has been playing lights out for them. So that's always good to see when you see a player that is almost just like a Greg Robinson gone for dead. And I mean, he revives himself. So that's always good to see with the offensive line. So Doug, we are actually gonna go through matchup to matchup. And the headline of this is questions answered. Now we're going to look at the questions that we had for each team. Well, teams out of the matchup, we're going to choose one, all three of us. And we're going to give which questions have been answered through week 9 for these teams that we choose. Go ahead, Doug. The floor is yours.
All right. So we'll lead it off with Thursday night's game where we saw Green Bay at San Francisco. So I think the question for me was really around Aaron Jones. So I think that he answered that he's an absolute stud and that everyone was like, oh, there's going to be touchdown regression. Like, I know he scored 19 touchdowns last year. But he hasn't slowed down at all. Now, I know he missed a couple games, but he came back in this one. He didn't score a touchdown. But when you look at his per game averages, he's on pace for a very similar season that he had last year. And I think that a lot of people doubted Aaron Jones and he's a flash in the pan. If you're an OG Aaron Jones truther like myself, you're just kind of grinning ear to ear because I've never doubted Aaron Jones. Now, the biggest thing with Aaron Jones and his dynasty value is he's going to be a free agent. We saw Mixon. We saw McCaffrey. We saw Cook. All these guys get paid. Is Aaron Jones the next in line? And I think that Green Bay, they typically don't like to go searching for free agents. They typically like to keep their guys the same. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to be the guy here for the next couple of years, I think they bring back Aaron Jones. But to me, that's the biggest question I had for Green Bay and their offense in Dynasty was, is Aaron Jones this stud running back? And I think he's answered it. Yes, he is.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was wrong on Aaron Jones. I thought he was a flash in the pan. And honestly, I don't know. Does Aaron Jones actually help Rodgers that much? Because honestly, there's times when Aaron Rodgers does not look like Aaron Rodgers still to this day. If they do decide to go to Jordan Love, which I still like as a buy in dynasty, if they do go to him, I think the smart play would be to give Aaron Jones money and have the offense through Aaron Jones and Davante Adams if they do go to this young kid in Jordan Love. And hopefully they draft a receiver one of these upcoming 2 years when they decide to pass the torch on, because they have to pass the torch on. They can't sit there and say that was a wasted pick. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he's playing okay. It was our fault. They can't do that. They have to give Love a chance. So my question is do they give Jones the money or not?
I think he gets somewhere around what Mixon got, like around 12 a year. Yeah. And I think that I don't have their salary cap information in front of me, obviously, but they're usually pretty good with the cap. So I think that Aaron Jones does get paid by Green Bay, and I don't think he goes anywhere else. I think he's too important to their offense for them to let him move on.
They like to they like to keep their guys too. They're not somebody who goes out and trade.
Yeah.
What was that?
They paid Eddie Lacy.
And cheeseburgers.
Hey.
White Castle. Which would be amazing. I mean, how awesome would that be?
I would take
no wonder he's out of the league. He was pooping his pants the whole time.
Literally and figuratively.
Those things all right, will absolutely
Tim, who do you got for out of the Packers and Niners?
My question going into the season was, what will this offense look like with their first two picks this year, being a quarterback and a running back? I heard all those whispers too about Aaron Jones. They go and grab this AJ Dillon, this monster of a man that runs at a crazy pace for somebody that large. But the guy just hasn't seen a lot of the field at all, and Love has not seen the field at all. The reality is that pick lit a fire under Rodgers' ass, and there's been a handful of moments, a handful of games, halves, where Rodgers hasn't looked like the Rodgers of old. But for the most part this season, Rodgers has been on point. He and Davante Adams have possibly the best chemistry of a quarterback wide receiver duo in the entire league. And so as long as Devontae is there, as long as Aaron Jones is there and Rodgers is healthy, it's all systems go for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And mine would have to be Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he the real deal? And honestly, I was nervous about it. And my answer is no. They are going to hope for a kid out of BYU who has just been destroying the world. God, now I'm blanking his name. Do you guys?
Yeah, I know him too, but I can't think of his name.
I have been saying it legit all weekend long because the dude is insane. Oh, God. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up. Right.
Zach Wilson.
That dude has a cannon. He is legit playing out of his mind in BYU. He's got the arm talent, like crazy arm talent. My issue with him is 6'2". He's 210. He looks small. But in Shanahan's system, who cares? Shanahan's going to do well with him if they were to get him. He's a good late-round option for them. And honestly, I think they will draft a quarterback. I think that is their number one priority this year. It's never running back because they're going to find somebody undrafted and pull them out of Woodwork. But no, Jimmy GQ is not it. And will he be brought back to New England?
That's all the guys on sports radio here want Jimmy Garoppolo to be reunited with Belichick because they are apparently him and Belichick and Jimmy G are like best buds. So we'll see what happens. Whatever. Let's get on to
Hey Jimmy, you still fold your underwear like I told you.
Yeah. Let's get on to our next matchup real quick. We've got Denver at Atlanta. I think the really thing that out of these two teams, you know, I wanted to see how Jerry Jeudy was going to be in the NFL. I know we had a little bit of a breakout game, and if you follow all the metrics, target percentage, air yards, Jerry Jeudy was due. And this was the game. I mean, if you follow DFS players, the sharp guys are like, get Jeudy in your lineups. And he goes off for 125-1 today. So Jeudy definitely, I think, is getting more comfortable, especially with Drew Lock back there at quarterback now for a few weeks in a row. So I think this is the start of something good for Jerry Jeudy. And, you know, he wasn't my number one receiver coming into this draft. I had a few concerns about him, but he is definitely looking the part in the NFL. So that was my biggest question for at least Denver this year. Atlanta, I didn't have too many questions about. So let's go to you, Tyler. Talk about your Falcons.
I would love to talk about how Todd Gurley looks awful, but I'm going to talk about Drew Lock. And my question at the beginning of the year was, is Drew Lock it? And I like what I see. I mean, he's a competitor. Yes, he's making some mistakes. He's kind of been inaccurate at times, but when that dude is on and he is throwing the ball, slinging it well, Drew Lock he could compete with a lot of people in this league for, you know, is he a top 12 quarterback? No. Is he a good number two quarterback for Superflex? Yes.
Yes.
He could have these weeks. He can have these boom weeks. And that's what I want in my quarterback too. I'm happy about it. I traded for Drew Lock last, like 2 weeks ago, and I thought it was going to bite me in the butt, and it did then. And now I'm pretty happy about it. I like what I've seen the past couple weeks. He just got out of injury, so he's starting to get back in the form and he's starting to get a chemistry, like you said, Doug, with Jerry Jeudy, who I think also looks very good.
Yeah, he's a stud. Yeah, I'm going to stay away from the Falcons as well. My question was just about the Broncos offense as a whole. I mean, they went out and they signed Melvin Gordon. They had Phillip Lindsay still there. They drafted, many people's number one receiver. Cortland Sutton looked to be taking that next step towards the end of last season. We had Noah Fant, who was just going absolutely bonkers towards the end of last season. They get Albert O, Drew Lock's, what's BFF. Albert O. out of respect for the man's last name, we'll go with Albert O. There were plenty of people who thought this was going to be just a run and gun type offense. They're just going to put up 40 on you and good luck keeping up. We haven't necessarily seen that. My only concern is we just kind of talked about Drew Lock, and he's a good number two in a super flex league. If you took one of these top tier quarterbacks in this NFL and put them with these offensive weapons in Denver, I think this offense could run so much better, honestly. I don't think Drew Lock's necessarily holding them back, but I don't think he's unlocking all of the potential. So
I can agree with that. I honestly, Drew Lock reminds me a lot of Stafford at his beginning year. Stafford just liked to throw the ball. It didn't matter who it was to, if it was a defense, offense, he was going to throw it. Stafford kind of grew into it, and I think that's the way Drew Lock needs to. Stafford was a very confident kid coming out of Georgia, guy who didn't take any bull from anybody, and what he was going to do was right. And I think Drew Lock's kind of got that mentality. I think they
almost had a chance to win this one, or at least tie it up.
Yeah, and I honestly, I think he's just got to pump the brake a tad bit. I love the competitiveness about him, but he needs to make an extra read here and then, and I think that will help his career out immensely.
Yeah, play with a little bit more control too. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the next game. We've got Seattle at Buffalo. Fun game for fantasy purposes. For me, the biggest thing going into the season was let Russ cook. So we are finally seeing what we've all wanted to see out of Russell Wilson. He didn't have a great day today. He threw three interceptions today. But what we're seeing with unlocking of Russell Wilson is what we've all wanted to see. And really, that's meant the sky's the limit. I mean, I don't know if one of you guys would probably talk about DK Metcalf, I would imagine. But between Russell Wilson and letting him cook, and then the growth and progression of DK Metcalf, because he was such a hot button topic in Dynasty. People either loved him or they hated him. And he's coming out and he's either going over 90 yards or scoring touchdowns or multiple touchdowns every single week. And a lot of people now have him as the number one receiver in Dynasty. So, I mean, I doubted DK Metcalf. I was not on the DK Metcalf train. And I'm here to say, yeah, I was wrong. He's really good. He's really, really good. So that's what I got for at least Seattle. Buffalo, I'll let you guys cover that if you want.
Okay, my question was actually Josh Allen on the other side. I question his growth. I loved Josh Allen's arm. I have a thing for arm. I have an arm fetish. I have a thing for big arms. And if you've got arm talent, reason why I love Justin Herbert coming out, because the kid had an arm. You saw it in the combine. The thing with Josh Allen was, can the accuracy become better? And will Stephon Diggs help? And a lot of people, like at the beginning of the year, I made the joke, like Josh Allen's going to hit the hot dog vendor over
30 feet over Stephon's head. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all joked about that, but that's not happening. Josh Allen is accurate. And,
it's also not happening because nobody's in the stadium because they play in the state of New York. And
that's true.
There's no hot dog
vendor. Maybe he's always going against the wind. So the wind pushes it down. But no, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Josh Allen, he's playing very well. He was a fantasy stud before, but now he's a fantasy superstar with his accuracy going up into the, 70s now, I think it is.
Yeah.
And he is throwing touchdowns left and right. Diggs has been a huge help getting a wide receiver one and getting Gabriel Davis with John Brown as well for that second receiver has been bigger than people think, because Gabe Davis is actually a very smart route runner. And the way he's playing next to John Brown and Diggs, it gives him three viable weapons in the passing game. And Zach Moss, yes, I hate to say it, they give him a power running back that gives another dimension with Singletary in the backfield. So this offense, Sean McDermott is a heck of a coach, and what they're doing over there is great. I'm a Bills fan.
There you go. Yeah, I was also going to hit on Josh Allen, 31 of 38 today, 415 yards, three touchdowns through the air, and he also ran one in. Uh-huh. He had a couple games there where we saw it the first 2-3 weeks of the season. Josh Allen was just lighting up the scoreboards for your fantasy teams. There was a bit of a lull there, but I call it a buying window, Tim. It was a buying window. Games,
yeah.
But the sad thing is he's already on my team, so I'm not going to sell him.
That's called flexing, everybody, what Tim just did there. Hell's flexing.
It's a humble brag. But Josh Allen, wanted to see him take that next step, and I think he has so far this season.
Absolutely. So let's move on to Chicago and Tennessee. What do I got in this one? David Montgomery?
Ugh. I mean, I saw that coming. I have not been a Montgomery guy, so...
I haven't either, but I feel bad for him, like, because the offensive line for Chicago is not very good. I think Montgomery's flashed a little bit here and there, but I just think he's a lot like reminds me of Sony Michel. Like, he doesn't have super explosion. Like, he's just Mike Davis is good at football. David Montgomery to be determined, but yeah, I think that Montgomery, you know, a lot of people like he's going to get a ton of volume, and he has, but he hasn't really done much with it. So, you know, he's been a unreliable flex player, low end RB2, just because he is getting all the touches with Tariq Cohen out. Ryan Nall poaches the touchdown this week. That was fun.
Reckon Nall.
But yeah, David Montgomery, I'm out.
All right, Tim, I'm going to first ask you if you're going to talk about a guy with a number 11 on his jersey.
Oh, you go ahead and talk about whoever you would like.
Okay, I'm going to talk about AJ Brown, who's my wide receiver 2 in Dynasty. And I thought this dude was outstanding his rookie year. I was skeptical about Ryan Tannehill at the beginning of the year, saying, I wonder if he could be it. You don't need a good quarterback to throw it 11 yards to you, and then you just take it to the damn house all the time. I mean, AJ Brown, Doug, you've mentioned this before. He's got a Julio Jones type aura to him in his style of play, and it's spot on. He is my wide receiver 2, neck and neck with DK Metcalf. Ole Miss, I'm going to take this time to bless you for giving the NFL these two gigantic human beings that are very good at
playing. And DeMarcus Lodge. Oh, he never worked out. Boo.
And Evan Ingram.
Yeah. And Dawson Knox, to be determined.
Yes.
So my guy here, and it's not my guy, it's my question. And that was going to be about the Bears defense going into this year. I think they had the pieces. Obviously they sent a lot of resources to go get Khalil Mack. They need that defense to be the best portion of each matchup each week. And it just hasn't happened for the Bears. They keep games close. They keep them ugly, but they're just not good enough. Today, the Titans, it was the first half of this game was super ugly. There was that one big play to A.J. Brown that was really the only sort of big play that happened in this game until later. But the Bears, that defense is the portion of the team that they thought was going to win them games, and it's the portion that's keeping them in games, but it's not where they need it to be. So I think the Bears possibly are going to be looking to revisit their entire formula and maybe change some things up going forward.
So I do want to give a perfect presentation of the Bears as a whole. The Bears defense, in this is wrestling terms, the Bears defense has them in a headlock. The guy's just about to tap out, and then the Bears offense hits their defense with a chair by accident, and then the other guy comes and pins the Bears defense down for the win. Like, that's my visual presentation for how the Bears team works. The defense suffocates them, and then the offense hits its own defense with it.
Gives them life back.
Yeah. So let's keep it moving, because we've got a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you a quick one from Baltimore, Indianapolis. Really, I wanted to see what this Indianapolis offense was going to look like going into the season with Phillip Rivers. And I have not been impressed. I think T.Y. Hilton has been a massive disappointment. I know he's been injured here and there. But bringing Phillip Rivers in, I thought it would be a lift for T.Y. Hilton. We're still sitting on the ground with T.Y. Hilton. You know, he's 30 years old. I thought he was going to be more involved in the passing game with Phillip Rivers, but it just hasn't happened. And I think the Colts offense as a whole has been pretty disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mine has been Hollywood Brown, seeing if the weight gain helped him in the beginning of the year. I had a question about that. I think it did. I just don't think Lamar is throwing well enough or enough to give him much of an opportunity. I think he's looked better than he did last year, more explosive. I just think the issue is Lamar in this whole offense. And I think they need to go back to kind of ground zero and making it easier for Lamar and just simple throws. Dude's got a cannon. Let him loose a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My question going into the season also was on the Baltimore side of things. I thought, along with so many other people, that Mark Andrews was going to solidify himself as, you know, in that conversation of it's going to be Kittle, Mark Andrews, Kelsey's getting older. Zach Ertz obviously is starting to fall off. So it looked like Mark Andrews is going to be at least battling Kittle for that tight end one spot. And I still think he has that talent. I know he has that talent. It's just sure. This offense isn't doing what it needs to do to solidify him in that spot.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move to Carolina at Kansas City. Well, not at, doesn't matter where it was, but Carolina and Kansas City. That was a fun game to watch. My biggest question was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I wasn't a huge CEH fan, as much as a lot of people were. And to me, if you take out CEH and you drop Damian Williams, I think you get about the same amount of production. I think CEH has some wiggle to him, but I just think that everyone was so hyped on him coming out of LSU. Then they take him in the first round.
He made one of the Panthers guys completely miss today. It was pretty fun.
He did. Yeah. No, he does have some moves to him, but I think that he has been in overall a disappointment for your dynasty teams. Everything considered this year. I know Kansas City's had some issues along the offensive line. They bring in Lev Bell, but he hasn't even had a lot of run. So to me, CEH has been disappointing. And that's really my biggest question was, how is he going to impact this offense? And to be honest, I don't think he's been a huge impact on this offense.
Yeah, I'd love to say you're wrong, but you are. No, I love CEH. I love his style. If you want to my question was, God, who'd they play today?
Who'd they play Carolina? Carolina.
Okay, my Carolina. Question was Teddy Two Gloves. And I didn't think Teddy could do well in an outdoor setting. I was hoping he went to an indoor setting, kind of like New Orleans, because of his arm strength and how he couldn't throw the ball deep. Well, he doesn't really have to. They run a lot of slants. Joe Brady, this offensive genius, has put him in the right spot to make him make these smart passes and let the receivers do their work. Curtis Samuel caught a pass today, caught it, expected to get hit, stood there, turned around, noticed nobody's around him. And the acceleration Curtis Samuel had to get to the first down was insane to me. I was like, it's like he teleported from where he was standing to the first down marker. It was nuts. Curtis Samuel. Yeah. I haven't seen that on him in a while, but Teddy Bridgewater has played very well, and I think he's played himself into the 3 years that his contract has him. Yeah. And it allows Carolina to not have to worry about quarterback for a couple of years. They don't have to reach for one. And honestly, I don't know if they'll get one the way this draft is going. Apparently, there's like 5 quarterbacks that could go top 15 this year, which would be insane. But yeah, Teddy Bridgewater has played himself into a couple more years here in Carolina. Could even play himself into an extension, kind of the way Kirk Cousins did. And yeah, so Teddy has played very well, and I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, my question this year was going to be how do defenses try to scheme up and stop the Chiefs? And we saw early in the season they were attempting to take away the big play, and we saw that next step in Patrick Mahomes' maturation. He just we're not going to take the deep ball. We'll take this underneath stuff and we'll just matriculate it down the field. And when we get in the red zone, we got way too many weapons. You don't know where it's going to go, and we're going to put it in the end zone. You can't stop it. So teams try to take away the short stuff. They can beat you long. Mecole Hardman's, you know, really looks like he's stepping up as well. So I think it's just Andy Reid being one step ahead of the defenses at all times. And when you got this many weapons, it's pretty easy to do so.
Gotcha. Next game we're going to go over is Detroit and Minnesota. I think my biggest question for these guys going into the season was around Matthew Stafford. You know, the biggest thing you heard on Twitter was like he was on pace for 5,000 yards and like 40 touchdowns. So I think a lot of people were buying into Matthew Stafford. You know, a lot of returning pieces. We get the second year of Hockenson, Galladay's there, Marvin Jones. Welcome back to Fantasy Relevance, by the way, over the last couple of weeks. But Stafford has been a bit of a disappointment. Like, I think that they've left some points on the field. You know, I would love to see DeAndre Swift get exclusive run there, but they're just too damn stubborn.
He's so, good.
I know. So for me, the question was Stafford and like, can he be a QB1 again? And that answer is no. I think he's a great QB2 on a super flex team, but to rely on him week in and week out as a QB1. Yeah, I just think it's I just think we've seen the best of Matthew Stafford in his career, unfortunately, at this point.
Yeah, we compare Drew Lock to Stafford, and they're honestly right now the same person. So it all depends on who you want.
Stafford's doing it with a lot less weapons.
Yes. I mean, with Kenny G out, yes. Swift is definitely a better running back than anything Denver has. My question was with the Vikings, and it was Jefferson. Would Jefferson slide into that Stephon Diggs role? And the answer for the first couple weeks, no. The answer after that, once they put him on the outside, yes, this man is a stud. Jefferson is a stud. He is my wide receiver 10 in the dynasty.
You almost wish that Dalvin Cook wasn't so damn good, so they would pass the ball more.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And Cook, by the way, is insane. I think I heard on a station the past two games, 475 total yards with 6 touchdowns in 2 games. Mm-hmm. People would beg for that for a season. He got it in 2 games, and he's doing it with an offensive line that has a new left tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, oh God, like Vikings either figured out their line by getting rid of Riley Reiff, which honestly could be it. And, or Cook is just insane. And I think it's both, but yeah, Jefferson is, it made me nervous. Jefferson was my wide receiver 1A and Judy was my 1B. Those two receivers made me nervous. Judy finally broke out, but Jefferson, I was nervous. I was like, I could be wrong about this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe he can't figure it, but no, they put him on the outside and he's just got this, like that mentality, the wide receiver swag mentality that you love to see. The guy's just like, I'm going to outrun you in this route and you're not going to be able to get me.
Absolutely. We still got 5 more games to cover.
So we do. Here. We do. What you got? Real quick, just a quick tip. Don't forget about Mr. Kerryon Johnson. He probably is not going to be with the Lions next year. Go ahead. Hey, he ran 4 times, 29 yards, at a 7.3 yard per carry average. He and DeAndre Swift both had 3 catches. Kerryon had more yards. Kerryon had more targets. I'm sorry.
I still think Kerryon's still good at football.
Kerryon's a talented running back. He's not going to be on the Lions because, let's be honest, DeAndre Swift is the future there. Mm-hmm. So Kerryon's going to go somewhere. This is a guy you can get really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
Go buy him. You never know. We see what's happening this year. So,
absolutely. Was that your take on those games?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep. All right. Let's go to New York and Washington. I'm just going to talk about Terry McLaurin.
These are bad.
He's like one of my favorite freaking players on the planet.
You talk about Terry McLaurin, then we can move on. Cause I think that's everybody's question. Could he take the next step?
He is quarterback proof, just like DeAndre Hopkins was when he had Tom Savage and Brock Osweiler. Like, it doesn't matter if it's Kyle Allen, Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith, don't care. Terry McLaurin is special. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And my one more, Antonio Gibson, my question was with him. Can he translate to the NFL? My answer is yes. My personal answer is yes. That dude is going to be very good when he gets more touches.
Give him some of those McKissick targets from this week, will you?
When they get Justin Fields in the draft, that team is going to look completely different.
I'll say this. If Alex Smith is the starter going forward for the football team, I think he'll get to clean some things up. He had 3 picks there when he was trying to chase down some points, but I thought he looked pretty good overall. Completed 24, 32 passes, 325 yards and some cleanup work, but
get better, Kyle Allen. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was rough. Let's go to Houston and Jacksonville. My biggest thing going into the season was around LaVisca Chenault. Who was kind of a polarizing player in the draft process. A lot of people like saw him run at the combine and like were really fading off of Chenault, but I love the way that Jacksonville's used him. He did get hurt today, so we didn't get to see a full game from him, but I like what they're doing. He's taking snaps as a Wildcat quarterback. He's lining up in the backfield. He's lining up all over the place. So I am very, very happy with the growth of Laviska Shenault just in his rookie year. And I think he's going to be really, really good. So if you got him in those, that middle to late second round where he was typically going, I think he made out pretty dang good with Laviska. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mine was actually going to be around Will Fuller and what he would look like if he Makes could sense. Play all the games. And
we're seeing it.
So far, so good. And honestly, I'm loving it. It's what I thought. He is a very good receiver. I don't care what you think, Tim. He is a very good receiver.
So far, okay.
He is a good receiver. Everybody, I mean, you could still get Will Fuller for a second rounder, and that's sad. Like, he needs respect. Worth. He needs respect. But respect,
put respect
to his
on his name.
my question going into the season was, obviously, B.O.B. was there at this time, but has David Johnson got any juice left? And week one, there were some questions of...
He looked good in week one.
Maybe? I think it's over for David Johnson. So,
yeah.
My question's kind of been answered.
David Johnson with the stiffy.
He went full Eddie Lacy, but the opposite. Like, he went muscle, all muscle.
It's been a sad fall from grace. Running backs, they burn bright, folks, as Tyler was saying earlier.
I hate running backs.
They burn bright and then they burn out. It happens.
Yeah.
So let's go to Las Vegas and then the Los Angeles Chargers.
Fun game.
Really fun game. I think for me, from the Chargers standpoint, was you know, you could get Keenan Allen at a discount, and I was loving it going into the season because everyone's like, well, Tyrod Taylor. And I get it. Like, Tyrod Taylor, he's an accurate quarterback. I thought his game was going to blend pretty well with Keenan Allen. And then obviously we see the unfortunate injury with Tyrod Taylor. And then Justin Herbert just come in and, you know, he had that last touchdown to Donald Parham that got called back. He would have broken Deshaun Watson's streak of like five games in a row with three touchdowns or more as a rookie. Justin Herbert's like kind of like low-key rewriting record books from rookie quarterbacks, by the way. And Keenan Allen's, his dynasty value has risen. He's getting all the targets. We also, you know, we thought Hunter Henry was always going to be a thing, and he's not doing anything. It's been mostly Keenan Allen mixing a little bit of Mike Williams there. I'll be really excited once the Chargers get Austin Eckler back with Herbert too. I think that'll be a lot of fun. But for me, it was Keenan Allen going into the season. I don't think he was a declining asset. I've always liked Keenan Allen because he's one of those guys that can separate with skill and technique, the type of player that's going to be in the league a very long time.
I mean, I'm not going to go to the obvious one. Because my question was, is Herbert really as good as I think? And the question's yes. I'm going to actually go to the Raider side. And can Henry Ruggs be a difference maker in this offense? The answer is yes for the NFL offense. For your fantasy team, the short answer is no. Derek Carr, I was hoping would throw downfield more, and it's just not happening. And I wish it would, because Henry Ruggs is a very good player. I wish they would be using him differently.
Imagine Henry Ruggs with Justin Herbert at quarterback.
Imagine Henry Ruggs with Kansas City, where they knew how to implement him, where they knew how to use him.
Good Lord.
Yeah, good Lord is right. Think of Mecole Hardman, but better.
Tyreek.
Yeah.
And Henry Ruggs. Good night.
Mecole Hardman is better. Or is worse than Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs is better than Mecole Hardman. So
yes.
I think Gruden needs to kind of get out of his own way and use Ruggs like he should be, like Tyreek Hill is used. Use him on screens more. Use him on implement.
I think
him
if Edwards
more.
Is what I think he's gonna be, I think Edwards being, you know, that safety valve, that consistent target in the short to intermediate range is going to allow for him to run routes, to pull that safety up just a step. And that opens up Ruggs deep, you know, without that secondary coverage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully.
My question is also on the Raiders side. Who's this Nelson Aguilar? No.
Right? Is that the same one that was in
what a revelation he's
what
been?
What the hell? Like, where was this at, Nelson? God. Anyways,
he could catch
babies,
right? Like that guy.
Yeah. Mine was actually about Darren Waller. We've seen his average yardage on his catches go down from 12.7 to 7.9 this year, but he caught 90 passes last year. He's on pace to go for 100 catches this year, about 800 yards, and about 8 touchdowns. So the yardage is coming down, but the overall catches and the touchdowns, the scores of 6-point plays for your fantasy teams are going up. So Darren Waller, absolutely love him. He's doing it again. Mm-hmm. And he came out of nowhere last year. We have all heard the stories from Doug before. You pick him up for free and
you flip him.
You can either use him for production or sell him off for the profit.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's get to Pittsburgh and Dallas. I'll go with Pittsburgh in this one. I was heavily investing in Diontae Johnson before the season. I liked what I saw, led all rookie receivers with 59 receptions last year. He had that. He has that like little bit of joystick with him. Even if you watch the game today against Dallas, anytime that he touches the ball, like he breaks guys' ankles. He's electric with the ball in his hands. Now, the biggest thing that's been frustrating about Diontae Johnson this year is the constant injuries. Getting hurt in game has been driving you crazy. But then you see the ceiling game of like 15 targets. He gets a couple touchdowns. Like, he is going to be an awesome, awesome player. I think this year he's going to be really good for you. But next year, when Juju doesn't re-sign, I think we're going to see Diontae Johnson really make that ascension into a wide receiver one type of player for the Steelers. So I'm happy with what I've seen from Diontae Johnson. It's just been a little frustrating because of the injuries and getting nicked up in game.
Yeah, my question is actually with another receiver, and it's Claypool. My question was actually, how are they going to use him this year? And this year, I didn't think he was going to use as much. I did not invest extreme in Claypool like I was hoping. I should have gotten him earlier. I'm very disappointed in myself, but I didn't think he'd produce this soon. And I think a lot that we hear from the Steelers is that he's running good routes. He knows more of the route tree than even the Steelers knew. And Claypool has shown a mature side to his game than they even knew. And I think that's a big reason why he's on the field. Mm-hmm. The dude's 6'4", 225 pounds, and they're using him like a Robert Woods style receiver, which is insane. They're putting him on swing routes, and they're giving him these RPOs. And it's just insane how they're using him. I love it. And I think him and Diontae Johnson's the future. Mm-hmm. And these two together are going to be absolutely insane. And I bought Claypool for in a 10-team league, 201, probably pick that's 204, 301, and a 2022 third as well. And I was like, I'm sold. Like, give me Claypool. I didn't want to give him an early first, but that was tempting. It was tempting because I think Claypool could be better than any receiver coming out of this next class due to the offense he's in and how they're going to use him.
Tim, my question going into this season was for the Cowboys side of things. And we saw it. We saw it before the Dak injury. This Cowboys offense, this Cowboys team was a ton of fun to watch. That defense, though, man, they weren't stopping anybody. They were getting people coming back on them late in games. So my question's kind of still going to be on hold till next year. I think the Cowboys definitely going to focus on the defensive side of the ball this offseason, bring in somebody, anybody to get pressure on the quarterback, because with Dak at the helm, this offense is one of the best in the league. I mean, they have one of the best running backs. They have an absolutely crazy good receiving core.
Tony Pollard?
They have one of the best number two running backs in the entire league.
That's true.
You know, Dalton Schultz has been a bit of a revelation for the team at tight end. So, you know, nothing but love for the Cowboys coming from an Eagles fan. I was really enjoying watching them early this season before Dak got hurt. So my question is still going to hold off till next year. But if they keep Dak around, go get yourselves a pass rusher or two, and things could go real well for you next year.
Absolutely. So let's get to the last game of the day. It was Miami and Arizona. Another fun one. This one's an easy one for me. I was not on Team Kyler Murray. I actually had him as one of my imploders in redraft this year. You know, a lot of people were pumping up Murray as a top five QB in redraft. Now, obviously, in Dynasty, he was right in that same ballpark. I was wrong. So Kyler Murray is absolutely destroying for fantasy points. Runs for over 106 yards today, 283 yards through the air. Multiple. He had 4 touchdowns. Like, he is the real deal. You know, he's only really struggled in 1 or 2 games this year. But other than that, he has been producing. He runs the football. I know Lamar is an awesome runner, but Lamar doesn't run the football as well as Kyler Murray does. Kyler Murray is just so elusive and so absolutely quick. Like, it's insane to me. So his Kyler tiny Murray,
feet.
Yeah, tiny feet. But he is just so like a little jitterbug. And I was watching the game and they compared him to Dante Hall. And I was like, A, that's high praise. And B, you're kind of not wrong. Like, just the way that he moves in short space is absolutely better than Lamar Jackson, in my opinion. So, yes, I was wrong about Kyler Murray going into this season. So, yeah, he's great.
I was going to say, we talked about Lamar Jackson having a kind of fall from grace this year. And it's because his passing is good. I think Kyler is so safe because he's a phenomenal thrower. He's a great thrower. His accuracy is all people talk about. Mm-hmm. And his running, he doesn't run like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, they actually have like, okay, Lamar, this is your run. You're running. Like with Kyler, it's like, okay, it's more improvised. It's like Russell Wilson, which is nice to see.
Lamar, to me, is like more haphazard when he runs. Mm-hmm. Kyler runs with cleaner lines and more of like maybe it's his vision that's part of
he's
it.
He's the best quarterback slider in the NFL because he has a humongous base. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got a baseball background, and it's true. Like, he knows how to slide. He knows how to get extra yardage with his slide because he can slide for like 3 extra yards. So that's a good thing with Kyler as well. My question in this was Tua. Can Tua be one of the top quarterbacks with this injury? I have a weird, like, it's almost like an OCD. Like, can a left-handed quarterback make it in the NFL?
Have you ever heard of Steve Young?
Well, I mean, like,
have you ever heard of Ken Stabler?
Like, nowadays, have you ever heard of Kellen Moore?
I have actually.
No, my question was with Tua and being a left-handed quarterback and being like the short stick in the NFL, can he work? And like, you know, there's one short stick, Tim. Don't give me that look. And
call him the short stick.
And Tua, his first game didn't look well. And I was actually backing him up. Mm-hmm. His first game didn't look well. And I was like, okay, it was the first game. And people are like, oh, Tua the answer. He looked great today. Tua looked poised.
He had a really good escape.
Run. Yeah, he had an escape that almost ran right into Isaiah Simmons, who was like right on him. Tua ducked and squeezed between a hole, kind of Carson Wentz style, like we used to see Carson Wentz. Remember that back in the day,
Tim?
Yeah,
when he was actually okay.
Oh, no, and fun Tua time. Got like 20 yards. And he threw the ball well. Preston Williams had some nice catches.
Stop rambling. You're taking my guys.
If this guy can get, if say the Dolphins take Ja'Marr Chase.
Don't do that.
With their early pick, this offense could be awesome. Mm. I would love for them to take Ja'Marr Chase. I would love for them to take him with the Texans pick and then go up to the Texans and say, thank you so much for this elite receiver. Mm-hmm. If Chase went to the Dolphins, he's my 101 in non-superflex. Like, I love that landing spot for him. And Tua, I think, is going to be very good as well with these other two rookie quarterbacks.
Well, the hot news was they were auditioning him for 2021 to another team potentially, which is just ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Dumb.
If they think quarterback with that Texans pick, like, I don't, that does just doesn't make any sense. Like, you're not going to get the same return for what you spent on Tua.
Yeah.
Like, and if he plays like he did today, like we all saw last week, it was mostly the defense. He didn't need to do anything. Mm-hmm. I actually had him in a dynasty league. I have him and Baker Mayfield and Dak. Obviously, I lost Dak for the season. Baker's on bye. So someone reached out to me, hey, do you want to trade for Matt Ryan? You know, you might need a QB this week. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Tua because they're going to need to score points. So I have a good team, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to roll with Tua and see what I get. And I got like 24 points out of him. I ended up winning.
He got you two touchdowns.
Tim, wrap us up.
Okay. So my guy I wanted to hit on was Preston Williams. I mean, he left. He got carted back to the locker room today. The x-rays did come back negative, so they're thinking it's a foot sprain at this point. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he gets well soon. But Preston Williams, I'm telling you, he and Tua looked like they had a connection to start this game that was going to be very good. Just to kind of double back on Tyler's guy, Tua, his first week out there, it was real quick one reads or half a field, RPO type stuff. I was like, ooh, this might be a harder transition than I thought it would. This week, you saw him making multiple reads, so it was fun. And the fact that he continued to look Preston Williams' way, you know, he was just one of those guys that for me I thought was a great value where you were getting him in rookie drafts, and to see him finally have this rookie quarterback that everybody thinks can be an absolute stud targeting him, I think Preston Williams has a bright future ahead of him here in Miami.
Yeah, I think Preston Williams is low-key one of the best receivers along the sideline in the NFL.
Yes. Like
his footwork.
Yeah. Him and Allen Robinson.
Yeah, his hands and
feet. His ability to go up and get it, yeah.
They talk together real nice. Mm-hmm. And he's really, really good along that sideline or in the back of the end zone. So, yeah, I love me some Preston Williams. I have him a bunch. And shout out to Pete Davidson at Rotobon for putting me on Preston Williams. He was one of the big Preston Williams guys. We talked, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to go out and got him either as an undrafted free agent or super late in rookie drafts, and it's paid off really nicely. So thank you to Pete on that one. And also thank you for beating me in UDPL this week, Pete. Appreciate it. You're the best. All right. I think that's going to wrap us up, boys. You got any final words before we get out of here?
No, just once again, Trophy Smack, code DHH ring for a free ring when you go buy yourself that trophy that you're going to need for the end of the year. It's coming up quick, so you might as well order now and get that right now. And then also Top Loaders, thetoploaders.com. Use code DHH to get $5 off your first break, which is a good price. You get to pick your teams in some breaks. And usually, I've seen a lot of Brandon Ayuk's picked or ripped. So San Francisco, low-key good pickup right now. And also Denzel Mims. The Jets are always cheap. And you get that Denzel Mims rookie card because I think he will have a good second half.
Get him before he blows up with Flacco on Monday night. No Stephon Gilmore for the Pats. Let's go. Ugh. Who knows? The game's ugly. I don't even want to watch
Monday night game.
I don't want to talk about it. All right. That is going to wrap us up this week for Dynasty Happy Hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you go on to iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. Tell us how awesome and great we are. Or tell us like, hey, you know what? Like that segment was boring. You we want stuck. All the feedback, whether it's good or bad. Make sure to hit us up on there. You can check out patreon.com too. We still have some options if you search Dynasty Happy Hour. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Thank you to Tim. Thank you to Tyler. The three of us will see you in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Best of luck for the rest of week 9. We'll see you guys in week 11. But don't make sure not to miss the pod. We do have it every week, but the OGs are every other week. So we'll see you soon on Dynasty Happy Hour.